Okay, good morning, everyone. How are you? I'm so delighted to be here. Personally, it is a great moment for me to preach in Canadian church. I never ever done preaching in Canadian church. So I hope you enjoyed with me. And don't expect me speaking Scottish accent. So even though I spent 6 years in Scotland, I tried to learn the Scottish accent. My daughter, youngest one, has a beautiful, beautiful Scottish accent, but all of a sudden she's getting adopted Canadian accent now. So one day I asked her, what about your Scottish accent? My daughter said, Daddy, I lost somewhere on the way to Canada. So anyhow, okay, let's turn. If you have Bible with you, turn to your Bible. The book of Acts, chapter 3. Book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 10. So I'm going to read the verse 1 through 10. So please come along with me as I read. My Bible is the ESV, a little different from that you have, if you have an NIV or Pew Bible, but pretty much the same as the ESV, I believe. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, Look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking, praising God, and recognizing him as the one who sat in the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amen. As I said, it is a great honor to be here and preach God's word to you. So, our text records the first miracle in the book of Acts that God enabled the apostle to perform after the day of Pentecost. Peter and John going up to the temple to pray about 3 p.m. encountered men who had been crippled from the birth. He asked for something, probably in the form of cash, but Peter spoke a word healing to him in Jesus' name, reached out his hand and pulled him to his feet. Instantly, God's miracle's power strengthened him, his feet and ankles, so that he could walk. Actually, he wasn't just walking, he was jumping for joy. This is what happened in our text. I believe that many of you are very familiar with this story. It is a great miracle, isn't it? But I don't think this was just a physical miracle. This is just a miracle of physical healing to show what amazing job the apostle did after they received the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I must point out a couple of things. I must point out the significance of this instance before we dig into the meaning of this miracle. First, this is the first record, I mentioned earlier, this is the first record miracle all the healing after the day of Pentecost. Although there was a miracle of the language in Acts chapter 2. So if you compare Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3, there is some similarity in between two chapters. So if you look at it very carefully in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3, if in Acts chapter 2, there is miracle and sermon done by Peter. Exactly the same thing happens in Acts chapter 3. A miracle, a wonder, followed by Peter's sermon. So you will remember that after miracle of the language, on the day of the Pentecost, 3,000 people believed and they're saved. Likewise, after the miracle of the lame man in Acts chapter 3 that we have today, by the time you get to Acts chapter 4, verse 4, there are already 5,000 believing men, plus women and children. That's the first significance of this miracle. Second, we can see the significance of this incident in connection with the promise of Jesus. Do you remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14? If you will, just turn to your Bible to John 14. John 14, verse 12 and 14. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the work that I do. The great works, then these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whoever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So as Jesus promised to his disciples, this is the miracle. What happened in the Acts chapter 2, this is the miracle which has been approved as a fulfillment of what Jesus had promised to the believers. What the apostle did was kind of a complement of what Jesus had begun. Therefore, the works of the Holy Spirit amongst the early church should be understood in line with the messianic works of Jesus in his earthly life. So whenever you look at the book of Acts, you can see a lot of miracles performed by miracles and disciples. So we need to understand these miracles in line with the messianic works of Jesus in his earthly life, which means what apostles did is complete by what Jesus had begun. Third, most importantly, this miracle is kind of a great illustration to show the dynamic ministry of the Holy Spirit in the early church. So you go back to look, if you go back to chapter 2 of the book of Acts, verse 43, it says, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. The Holy Spirit began his miraculous kind of the ministry on the first day the church was born. According to chapter 2, verse 43, many wonders and signs were being done through the apostle by the Holy Spirit. Now as we come to chapter 3, then, the Holy Spirit merely selected one of these miracles as illustrations. So chapter 3, I believe, is kind of a living illustration of the fact of chapter 2, verse 43. So now, we need to turn our attention to the passage itself, verse 1 through 10. As I read, this passage is a simple passage, but teaches a great lesson in regard to the gospel message, I believe. The verse 1, it says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour." So let's look. Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, which means the ninth hour. Ninth hour is 3 p.m. this day, in the afternoon. This was a time of the evening sacrifice, and this is time for the evening prayers. But it's unique. We need to look at the verse. The word "went up." They were going up to the temple. In ESV, it says they went up, they were going up to. That is imperfect in Greek, which means continuous actions. Apparently, they did it. They did going up to the temple is a usual thing. They did it all the time. Going up to the temple to pray was a usual thing for them. It was not just an accident, or it was not just a special event. The Peter and John, they were going up the temple to pray as usual, as a kind of their continual custom. So they just arrived at the temple as usual. In verse 2, we see the poor man who had been born lame. He was about 40 years old. If you look at the first, chapter 4, verse 22, it says he's about 40 years old. But the thing is, he never, ever, ever walked in his life. Every day he was carried to the beautiful gate of the temple. There he would sit asking alms, which means he was a beggar. So he couldn't do anything. He couldn't get a job because he couldn't do anything. So he was poor. He was a beggar. All he could do was being carried by someone, some friends, then sit at the gate of a beautiful gate of a temple, asking alms. That's all he could. But that's the thing he usually do. He usually does. That's a usual thing for him. But now we see what happened to him. What happened to him was a miracle. Let's see the miracle itself. Verse 3. Seeing Peter and John about to go into temple, he asked to receive alms. Verse 4, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as he did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." If you just, let's think about the miracle itself. In so far as the miracle itself is concerned, what I must say is, it signifies God's sovereign grace. Let me tell you why I said this is a sovereign grace. This miracle signifies, this miracle shows what sovereign grace is. Let me tell you why. Because it was unexpected. This miracle was, what had happened here was unexpected. That's how God's grace comes. The beggar, the lame man, was asking for money. Probably money for something in the form of cash. So all the beggar expected from John and Peter was the money. But he didn't get what he expected, did he? He didn't get anything what he expected eventually. He looked for money, but all he got was unexpected. The miracle. He never ever dreamed of this would be happened. The meaning of this miracle was the unexpected, is that it was God's sovereign work. This is what God was doing. He did it on his moment. He did it at his man. He had not designed to heal all of the lame beggars at the temple who was asking for some alms. Think about it. Wasn't he the only man who asking alms as beggar at the beautiful gate of a temple? I don't think so. There are many beggars. He's just one of them, I believe. But he experienced the God's miracle. But he didn't expect it. This would happen. All he expected is getting money from them. But neither apostle nor the beggar intended it to make that happen. Just they were doing they were supposed to do. Two men going up the temple as usual to pray. That's what they were supposed to do. The beggar asking alms, sitting there asking alms, that's what he was supposed to do. No one would expect that kind of miracle would happen. But what we see, the miracle that happens unexpectedly, which means this is how God's sovereign grace works. A man can be going along in his own way, thinking all he needs in his life is money. All he needs in life is a little comfort. And God reaches his into heart and redeems it, and miracle happens that he never ever dreamed possible. Wasn't that how it was with you when you met Jesus Christ? Just think about it. How you met Jesus Christ. Did you intend it? Did you make that happen? Once God appoints you, come upon you with his grace and getting salvation, so is that what you intended? Did you manipulate or did you make that happen? It was you? No, actually. We didn't make it happen. We didn't intend it. All we could say is it just happened, which means it was the sovereign grace of God. Likewise, this man, the beggar, asking for something in the form of cash, that's all he could expect from the John and Peter. But God performed, God showed his miracle to him. Maybe something happened far beyond what you ever imagined. Life became fuller than ever. You dreamed it could be. And so many things replaced the mundane and temporary you thought were everything. But so God began his sovereign work. The miracle was unexpected. That's the number one we need to consider in this miracle. Number two, not only did the miracle unexpected in the name of Jesus Christ, but it was instantaneous. Look at verse 7. He took him by the right hand and raised him, and immediately, don't miss this word, immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. He was healed. His problem was cured immediately. This is how God works. This is how God heals. God's miracle of healings are always instant. There is no natural process of involved. That's what happens when God works by his sovereign grace. Number three, this miracle was complete. God never does a miracle that isn't total. Look at verse 8. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. This man had never ever walked before, but now he was totally cured, healed. He entered with him. He entered with his Peter and John into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. You see, it was complete. He was up and moving, but he didn't need anything. It wasn't incomplete. It was complete. That's what God's miracle is about. Number four, this miracle is done in the name of Jesus Christ. If you look at verse 6, Peter says, I have no silver and gold, but I give it to you. And then he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Can you see that? The Peter said, in the name of Jesus, of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This is what Peter said. He performed God's miracle in the name of Jesus Christ. Christ means the Messiah. So in the name of Jesus means the Messiah from the Nazareth. So now you see the statement, in the name of Jesus. It is as if Peter said, because who Christ is, because of what he is, by virtue of his character, by virtue of his authority, by virtue of his power, and rise up and walk. That's what Peter is saying. So I stand here, like Peter said, I'm standing here in the place of Jesus Christ. So now we remember John chapter 14 again. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What did he mean by that? If you ask anything, I will do it. This is what Jesus said. What does he mean by that? He means, if you pray in the name of Jesus Christ, if you pray in my name, if you're praying like this, dear Father, I'm asking you this because this is what you would want. That's in his name. A long time ago, I had chance to preach early morning at the Korean church. Korean church is very famous for the early prayer meeting every day. So I was supposed to preach early morning. It's not easy for me to preach early morning. I didn't wake up properly. So I finished my sermon, and then I don't know how to end up my sermon. I was supposed to pray. So I prayed to God as closing prayer. But I thought I said, okay, I pray in the name of Jesus. But it turns out I forgot. I missed the saying in the name of Jesus. After prayer meeting, one of the ladies came up to me, Pastor, you made such a huge mistake. You didn't say in the name of Jesus Christ. That means that was not prayer. It was a shock to me anyhow. But you know, Korean church, Korean Christian very emphasized using in the name of Jesus every word, every prayer. But isn't that what they mean? Isn't it what Jesus meant? You must use this word every single prayer whenever you pray? I don't think so. What he means, whenever you pray like this. Dear Father, I'm asking you for something because this is what you want. That's what he meant by in the name of Jesus. So Peter is saying that, rise up and walk. I speak not for my sake. I speak on the behalf of Jesus Christ. This is what he wants. Isn't this what you want? Oh, Jesus Christ, isn't that what you want? If this is what you want, I will say, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ. So Peter acts in the behalf of Christ. So they were acting in the behalf of Christ, speaking for him. That's what every spirit-filled Christian does. So they said to this the beggar, they said to this the lame man. So as a result of this, the miracle attests the living truth of the exalted Jesus. The miracle is a powerful point to the truth. Jesus is alive. So for these reasons, the miracles in Acts chapter 3 signifies God's sovereign grace. It was unexpected. No one did make that happen. No one intended it. It was unexpected. It was instantaneous. It was immediately, and it was completed, and it was in the name of Jesus Christ. However, there is one more thing we must consider. Let's look at verse 7 again. And he took him, which means Peter, took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankle were made strong. Peter was available. Can you see that? Peter was available to be used by the Holy Spirit. The power for healing this man from God, right? But the hands was Peter's. Can you see that? Power was Christ, but hands was Peter's. So what he sees, Peter was available to be used by the Holy Spirit. He reaches down and picked him up. That's exactly what God wants to do in us today. He wants to bring through our availability. Let me ask you a question. Do you really care? Do you have any sense to the people as Peter and John were to be available, to be used by God to lift them up? Just look around the people around you. We know that so many times we come in out of the church, this place, as unusual. As Peter and John going to the temple, just we walked by the people whose lives are broken, and we don't see them. We walk in, planked ourselves in our little pew or seat. We sit there. It was so nice. We sing our little song. We do our little whatever we want. And we get up and get out the back door and into the car to whip home and eat. That's all we do in every Sunday. Do you have any sensitive? Have we ever been any sensitive to somebody around you? There are people. There are a lot of people with broken lives, broken heart. There are lonely people. There are people hurting. There are people who are lame with fear. There are people lame with doubt and defeat and trial. They are searching for love, and they are searching for the restoration. They are searching for a hand to lift them in the love of Jesus Christ. All God needs is available hand to minister.
So let me ask you again, are you available to be used by God? This is how we are to minister. So often we come into the church, we come into this place and out, coming in and out, but we are insensitive. So let me ask you again, do you know who's around you? Do you know who's around you? Maybe you say hi to them when we had a meeting for you to do. But do you really care? Do you really care for the people hurting? Do you really care people who around you, who are around you? Let me say this. God doesn't want your attendance only. It is great to come to every Sunday, worship together. Your attendance must be appreciated. But God doesn't only want your attendance. God doesn't want your money. He wants you. Ministering, caring, loving, and being sensitive to each other. This is what God wants. That's what church wants. That's what church was supposed to be do. So Peter took his hand. He had time for him and lifted him up. God did a miracle. I hope you will be available to be used by God. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for the time we shared this story in the book of Acts this morning. It's been rich and it's been sweet. We thank you for your sovereign grace. We thank you for what you have done for us in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for you have shown us about healing. We thank you, Lord, and you taught us to carefully examine what we see to be sure is of God. The many lessons we've learned this morning, but we pray Holy Spirit will continue to teach us and make this truth indelible, that we might be able to interpret life in the light of them. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.